Isaiah chapter 51, verse 16 says that I have placed my words in your mouth and I have hidden you in the hollow of my hand. And you know, just the fear, the terror that has struck the planet in our day because of this pandemic, some has just gotten out of hand. And fear will drive people into a panic and irrational decisions. We think about, you know, the grocery stores being stripped of toilet paper, of all things. I understand the rice sections stripped clean and pasta is all gone, all the dry goods. People are in a panic. We would have hand sanitizer here for you today, but they don't have any. You know, we use common sense approaches to these things. But as I was sitting here in the front, and the hollow of his hand came to my mind. And so I got my smartphone out and Googled it, found Isaiah. I put my words in your mouth. And listen to that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Fear is the opposite, the polar opposite of faith. I have put my words in your mouth, and I have hidden you in the hollow of my hand. Amen. You know, we are hidden in the hollow of God's hand. And we have power in the name of Jesus. And you know, I just feel led of the Lord in this message I'm preaching today on Psalms 91, the secret place. You know, I was going to do a follow-up and do growth and character, but I felt very strongly, Psalms 91. Listen, he is hidden. We are hidden in the hollow of his hand. The hollow of his hand. You know, I got big hands, but my God has even bigger hands. Amen. Okay? And I'm not trying to underestimate or underreact to this situation. I think common sense needs to be done. You know, if you're sick, stay home. If you're, you know, if you're susceptible, you know, to catch something, stay home. But, you know, we're going to start live streaming our services on our Facebook page for those who have to stay home. You know, it's kind of that time to do that. But I'm just telling you that we are hidden in the hollow of his hand. Don't lose your faith. In fact, there's a worldwide call for believers to pray against this virus. And through the power of prayer, this virus is going to die. It's going to bite the dust. Amen. We have the power to call on the name of Jesus and to plead his blood over our bodies, our souls, our minds, and our spirits, and to pray over our loved ones. We don't have to come to church to pray over your family, to lay hands and just pray over them and ask God to cover them under his mercy and hide our family in the hollow of his hand to protect us. And I pray this morning, God, let your people be as your people were in Israel, in Goshen, when they were in Egypt, where the plagues were falling on the Egyptians, but the people of God were not touched. This is our prayer. Let's take a look at the secret place. We saw we're talking about the secret place. Aren't you glad that there's a place that we can go? In a time of trouble, in a time of need. Aren't you glad that we have a place that we can go and we can hide? Sometimes, don't you, you just feel like, I just want to hide in God. And not to hide from the facing the realities of this world, because he's given us authority and power to overcome in this world. But sometimes there's just a time when you want to be close to your Father, that you want to press in and you want to be. Sometimes maybe you've been going through some trials or temptations, or you've been going through some difficulties in your life or your relationships or your finances, and you just feel kind of, sometimes we feel a little, oh God, I just feel so down. It's a good place to go when you feel that way, is to get into the secret place. To just press into God. And that's what the psalmist was talking about here when he says in chapter 1, I'm going to read select verses here you have here, not everyone, except a few, but it says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will do what? They will find rest. Where will they find it? In the shadow of the Almighty. Think about that. Of standing or kneeling, worshiping in the shadow of our God. And He's a big God, so He casts a big shadow. Amen? I remember in the scriptures in the book of Acts that the anointing was so strong, so powerful on the apostles that many people lined the streets with the sick and those who needed a touch from God so that just the shadow of Peter as he was passing by might fall on them. And there were people getting healed when the shadow of Peter was falling on them. Now, can I tell you that it wasn't the shadow, but it was the faith, believing that if I do this silly thing, that somehow God's going to do it. That's faith. That's what these people were doing by faith. They were saying, you know, I believe, just like the woman who touched the hem of his garment, it wasn't the garment that had the power to heal. It was the one who was wearing it, okay? And just as Peter was passing by, it wasn't his shadow. It was the God that lived in him that he served and that he was preaching that the anointing went out and touched people and they were healed. But we can find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And he says, this I declare about the Lord. This is my profession. This is my statement of faith, is that he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust him. I will have faith in him. And this is his statement of faith, this psalmist who's saying, and he says, this is why I believe what I believe. Verse 3, for he will rescue you from every snare, every trap, and he will protect you from the deadly disease. He will protect you from the coronavirus. He will protect you from disease. He will cover you with his feathers, and he will shelter you in his wings. Listen to this, his faithful promises. Don't you love the promises of God? A few weeks ago, I preached on 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we talked about how that we can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in this world by inheriting, believing his great and precious promises. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. They surround us like a shield. His promises, listen to me, are not wishful thinkings or well wishes or just spoken words that have no power, but his promises are yes and amen. His promises are yes and amen. His promises are true. I might make promises, and I've done this not intentionally, but I've sometimes said I'm going to do this, and sometimes I'm always careful what I promise because I don't want to be a liar, okay? I want to fulfill what I say I did. But sometimes there's been times I intended to, but I couldn't fulfill the promise. And I felt good, and I had to go to God and ask him to forgive me and ask those people to forgive me that I missed out somehow. I said, I intended to do it. Somehow it didn't work out. I'm so sorry. So I'm careful about promising you things. Don't ever ask me to do something on a Sunday morning, okay? Because I don't remember things. Linda was my secretary for 17 years, and she used to tell people, don't talk to pastor. Tell him things on Sunday morning. He won't remember. And so he was my protector, you know, and she says, tell me and I'll tell him, you know, she'll keep track of it. She was good at that. But God doesn't forget his promises. God does not forget his promises. And verse number 5, the psalmist says, do not be afraid. That's a word for today. Amen. That's a prophetic word for today. People are in a panic. I never dreamed people would panic so much. I mean, buying toilet paper for what? It has nothing to do with the coronavirus at all. I mean, I don't get that. But people are in a panic. I guess the most important thing to them is, or the greatest fear they have is running out of toilet paper. I don't know. What did people do before we had toilet paper? That's kind of gross. I won't talk about that. But don't be afraid. Listen, don't be afraid. Listen, I want to tell you something. There is nothing that the devil has within his arsenal that can touch the child of God. There is nothing that he can threaten you with that he can pull off without your permission. You are told in Scripture, do not give the devil a foothold. Okay? Stand on the promises of God. Stand on the Word of God and then stand firm and he will flee from you. Amen? Amen. His promises and are your armor and protection. And he said, don't be afraid. And don't be afraid of what? Of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies by the day. I think sometimes, you know, when I was a boy, I was not afraid of the dark ever, but there was a time when there was a series of UFO sightings. I lived in Omaha, Nebraska at that time. I was probably in maybe, I don't know, third grade. I don't remember. Maybe fourth grade. I might have been in high school. No, I wasn't. But I looked outside and I was home alone, you know, my mom and dad were gone, and my brother and sister, which was rare, but I was home and maybe my two younger siblings were there, and there wasn't eight of us yet. I can't remember, probably five of us, maybe six, but I was home and I looked outside in the night sky and there was something up in the sky that was hovering. And I didn't know what it was, and all of a sudden I thought it's a UFO, we're being invaded, and I got scared. The terror of the night. And I started imagining things. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, even as adults, we can imagine things. That what if this happens? What if that happens? What if? And we're tormented by what if, when really what if is probably as likely to happen as a meteor falling on your house, you know? But I got scared, and you know what I did? I got scared, I went in and I called the police. And the police came. And about the time the police came, my mom got home. What are the police doing here? And I said, there's a UFO out there. And the policeman smiled, and he was tried not to laugh. And he was saying, you know, it's okay. There's, you know. But the next day in the paper, the Omaha World, there was a story. People saw it, you know. I don't know what it was. Of course, it's off at Air Force Base was there, and they might have had something up there. I don't know. But anyway, I didn't have any reason to be afraid if I had the promises of God, which we didn't, you know, I didn't know about them at that time. But sometimes it doesn't have to be a UFO in the sky, but sometimes in the night things can scare us. You know, we lay there at night. You know, I have some grandchildren, most of them sleep with the light off in total darkness. And there's a few of them that they want a night light on. They're afraid of the dark. And if you shut the light off, like we did our kids, they just terror and they start screaming. And it's like, okay, I'll open the door a little bit, turn the hall light on until you go to sleep. And so, you know, that's how you do it. But we don't have to be afraid of the terrors of the night nor the arrow that flies by the day. And he says, do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness nor the disaster that strikes at midday. And he goes in verse 7, though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not, say will not, will not touch you. If you make the Lord your refuge, say if you make the Most High your shelter, then what? No evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. You know, the Lord says in verse 14, the Lord says this, this is the word of the Lord. Now, if you say, Pastor Tim is saying this, yeah, it might be true. Hopefully it will be, you know. I try to be truthful. But I do know this, that if the Lord says something, you can bank on it. It's like money in the bank. Even safer than money in the bank, because banks aren't always safe. The Lord says this, I will rescue those who love me. Did you hear that? I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call, you know what the New Testament name of God is? It's Jesus. When they trust in my name, I trust in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble, and I will rescue them and honor them. Now, I'm not promising you that you're never going to get a virus, you're never going to get sick, but I am telling you this, that we have no reason to fear. That we have a God who has our backs. That we have a God who surrounds us with his presence. We have a God who hides us in the hollow of his hand. We have a God who heals the sick and even, yes, raises the dead. When they call upon me, God says, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. Now, I'm not just talking about viruses or sicknesses here, but if you ever find yourself in trouble, you can call on the name of the Lord. You know, I was at my niece's wedding. This is a young lady who you wouldn't recognize her from her pictures before because she dressed so shabbily and You could tell she didn't have a lot of self-worth, and she's my baby sister's little youngest daughter, not the baby, but the youngest daughter. You know, something happened to Samantha Sammy about 3 or 4 years ago. On her Facebook page, all of a sudden, the post changed. They went from darkness to light. And my daughters told me, "Dad, did you see Sammy's Facebook?" I said, "I'm not on Facebook anymore." I said, "Well, what's going on with Sammy?" Well, Sammy got saved. Sammy found Christ the Savior. And she is totally changed. "Dad, you ought to see the things she's writing." And she's writing things like, "You know, people judge me, and they, you know, about how I was, and but my life has changed something, and people are judging me because something changed, and I've changed." You know, what she's saying is my old friends are criticizing me, and my new friends used to criticize me, which we shouldn't be doing, okay? But she said, "I'm not where I'm supposed to be," and I'm paraphrasing what she said, "but I'm not where I was, and God is changing me one step at a time." And, you know, Sammy married a seminary student who's majoring in music. He's the worship leader of a very large Baptist church in Excelsior Springs. And that's where they got married. One of their professors married him, a doctor somebody, a doctor of music. But he did the wedding ceremony. And Sammy is gorgeous, beautiful, lit up from the inside. And, but, you know, one of her sisters, tragically, because of sexual abuse, I believe, and other things, ended up being a lesbian. Lives in California. She's debated coming back and forth about changing her life and has very low self-worth, and she was there. And you know what I did? When I saw her, I said, "Show me which one she is, because I don't remember. I mean, I haven't seen her as an adult." And they pointed her out. And when she walked by, I reached out and said, "Hey, do you remember me? I'm Uncle Tim." And she smiled, and I said, "I remember you came to my house, and you and your sister, and stayed with us in North Dakota when you were just little girls." And she smiled and said, "Yeah, I remember that." Anyway, I put my arms around her, and I pulled her in and hugged her, and I whispered in her ear, "You know, I love you. God bless you." And she looked at me like, and you know what happened a little bit later? We had our meal, and a little bit later, she sought me out. I could see she was kind of stalking me a little bit. And she walked up to me again and got right in front of me again. And she just stood there. You know what she wanted? Another one. See, we're going to win people because of the love of God. Okay? Not because we beat people up. And I believe that just like her baby sister got saved, okay, just like the little brother got saved, just like their older sister got saved, Jewel, who now works in South Dakota in kind of a mission with handicapped children, who when Jewel was older, she took her baby sister and brother to Awanas. Mom and Dad didn't go to church. But see, the gospel of Christ. We talk about being rescued here. Rescued. The Lord says, "I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. And when they call upon me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them." You know what? My praying sisters and my brother-in-law, who are intercessors, have been praying for this family for a long time. And God is answering prayer. He's in the business of rescuing people, protecting them where something seems impossible. That's what happens. Rescue takes place. There's a psalm for those who walk in God. I wish I had told my niece, you know, something more significant. I couldn't think of anything at the time, but I did tell her, you know, "I love you, and God bless you." And I wasn't blessing her lifestyle. I was blessing her. Amen? So this psalm is really a psalm for believers. You know, unbelievers can read it and be motivated to move closer to God. And hopefully that's what all the Word of God will do. But there's a psalm for those who walk with God, who have made Christ their Savior, who have a personal relationship with God that goes beyond a religious rite or ceremonies. It goes beyond just making a profession of faith, saying a prayer, and walking out different, walking out not any different than you came in. But these are people who have prayed the sinner's prayer, received Christ as Savior, and they walk out different, and their lifestyle is different. Their attitudes are different. Their desires change, and they become more and more like Christ as they walk in their faith and grow in their faith. But these people who plug into this psalm are people whose hearts are fixed on God, that they're focused on Him and the relationship that they have with Him. Their purpose in life is to not just be saved and have a place in heaven, but their purpose in life is that I want to grow in Him and I want to know Him more and I want to serve Him for the rest of my life. Not because out of duty or out of religious service, not because I want to be saved or get right with God, but because I am saved. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest orators of Christianity, of preaching the word, said this of this psalm. He said, this psalm is only for those, only those who know the love of God in Christ come into the secret place of the Most High. To those who dwell there, to live in Christ is to die, and to die is gain, according to Philippians 1:21. So only those who know the love of God come into that secret place. It's a place that we know that we can go to. And there's certain things that the psalmist says here, and most of them I take out of verse number 2, but he says this, He alone is my refuge. And he says this, well, I will declare about the Lord. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to teach it. I'm going to bring it up in my conversations with my friends and my coworkers. I'm going to talk about, this is what I declare about the Lord, that He alone is my refuge. He's my place of safety. He's my God, and I will trust in Him. That He is. This is my profession of faith. And those who trust in Christ find that the Lord is a very good place to find a shelter or find a secret place, a place that we can be in a time of need and a time of trouble. He's a place to hide when the storms of life happen. You know, no matter what hits your life, I preached a sermon many years ago called What to Do When Life Happens. And what is it? Life happens. You know, what does that look like? It looks like when you go to the doctor and you get a bad report. Life happens. You know, my brother, very close to my best friend, life happened. He was the healthiest one of all 8 of the children. He's the one who walks 6 miles a day and faithfully. And when he's flying in the airports, you know, because he traveled all over the country, he would spend his time walking 2 or 3 miles in the airport for exercise. I'd sit and eat a thing of ham and eggs and read a paper. You do a crossword, you know. But he stayed healthy, and he got a bad report from the doctor. But you know what? While we were there, you know what we did? We had a prayer meeting. Because He's an ever-present help in a time of need, and in a time of trouble, we can approach the very throne of God and receive help and health, help and mercy. When we come to Him, He will in no wise, as the Scripture says, cast us out or cast us aside. We have access to the throne room of the Almighty Creator God. And so we had a prayer meeting, and we got together and we laid hands on him. I prayed privately with him a couple times, but we also prayed together and laid hands and prayed for him. You know, got some bad news from one of our daughters. You know, something happened that she wants to remain private, but she had a little something happen, not a little thing, a big thing, and sat and cried with her on the phone. You know? And I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Let me pray with you. Is your husband with you? Yes. I said, let's pray. Mom and I are going to pray. We sat by ourselves, put it on speakerphone, and Mom and I prayed. You know what? I couldn't be there in person to lay hands on her like with my brother. But how many know we have an omnipresent God? That when we pray, His Spirit is there. And when we pray, He hears our prayers and He moves. And you could feel the comfort and the peace of God come over her. You could feel it. Aren't you glad we have a God we can feel? Yes. We don't just know, but we can feel His presence. It's a pretty awesome thing. And so we have a place to go in a time of storm. We can go find that secret place where it can be just me and God, and we can sit down. Wherever that is in your home or wherever you pray, wherever that secret place is, it doesn't really matter geographically which place it is or where it's at. The main thing is that's your secret place where you get into a huddle with the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Jesus, and you get together and you begin to pray and you begin to feel the peace of God that passes all understanding. Guard your heart and mind by Christ Jesus. You begin to feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come in and comfort you, and the power of the Holy Spirit to come in and change the reality of what is into something that it is not. That's the power of prayer. God works when people pray. Amen. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our fortress and our strength. Psalms 46:7 says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalms 62:8 says, God is a refuge for us. Psalm 71:7 says, you are my strong refuge, O God. So we have a refuge in God. Not just the psalmist, but the people of God. We have a place to go to. We have a place that we can turn to. Secondly, the psalmist says, he's my fortress. He says, this I will declare about the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress. What do you think about when you think of a fortress? Think about a strong, battle-hardened place where the enemy is going to have a really hard time breaking in and doing you damage. Amen? God is my fortress. He is impenetrable. He is impenetrable because he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. There is nothing too hard for God. In fact, through the prophet Jeremiah, God asked through the prophet a rhetorical question, is there anything too hard for God? And of course, the only answer is absolutely nothing, which the prophet begins to answer. There is nothing, absolutely nothing too hard for God. Isn't that what Jesus taught us in the New Testament? Didn't he say that the works that I have done greater will you do because I go to the Father, because he's sending the Holy Spirit? He is an awesome God, and the fortress that we have is a protection from all of the strategies and the plans of the enemy to come against you and against your family. I always get troubled when I see believers, Christians who know Christ as Savior, and especially those who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, when they start talking too much about the devil doing this, the devil doing that. Oh, pastor, the devil's been after me. Oh, the devil's been, and I say, well, turn around and take your stand and then stand firm and he will flee from you. That's what the word says. You know, he's more afraid of you than you are of him. It's kind of like bats. You know, at the old church, we had bats, you know. Once in a while, you remember that? Sometimes there's bats that would get in and then fly around. And I was told before I got there, oh, pastor, before you were our pastor, that we were on a Sunday night service, and a bat came swooping down in the sanctuary, and everybody was ducking, and the ladies were kind of screaming, and, you know, the bats swooping around. Well, that poor little bat was probably more afraid of the people than what they were of, you know. You know what I'm saying? You know, all you need is a good tennis racket. You can play badminton, you know. Had to do that many times. You know, fear gets a hold of people, but we have a fortress. The devil can't get in. You know, his demons, his minions can't get in. He's a fortress that we are in the hollow of his hand. What a fortress. Somebody said we're hidden in the hollow of his hand and the devil can't take anything from God's hand. That we are protected. You know, some people worried about things. You know, sometimes, you know, when your children go the wrong direction, you need to get into that secret place and remember, he's my refuge. And then you hit the ground on your knees and you begin to pray. You know, and you wait for results. You don't see it. But here's the thing about faith is even though you may not see something happening, God is working behind the scenes because he is answering your prayer the moment you pray. Word of God says this out of 1 John, the last chapter. I don't remember the address, but it says that when we pray according to his will, we already have that which we have prayed about. Did I tell you about my nieces getting saved in a dysfunctional home? Or you'd think, no, you know, that's never going to happen. Did I tell you about that? I tell you about my niece being called to the mission field. I tell you about her sharing the love of God with her siblings, taking them to Sunday school, taking them to Awanas. And now that whole family is in the process of being shaken by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the gates of hell are rattling. And devils are fleeing. And my other niece, she's going to get saved. She's going to get delivered from that spirit. Amen? Why? How do I know that, Pastor? It's because he's my fortress. And I can get in that fortress when we're under attack, when my family's under attack, and I could get on my knees and I can begin to pray to God. It's a place of safety in times of battle. You know, when the enemy's just fighting all the way around you, you just get down there and hunker down in that place and say, God, I'm just here to be protected. And then you get on the offensive and you begin to pray. And when you begin to pray as a child of God, things begin to happen in the supernatural. I'm telling you, things begin to happen in the supernatural. Hallelujah. You know, there's a pastor up in Stevenson. We're doing small groups with him because we're going to roll out a new small group curriculum. Actually, it's more than that, to help people who are struggling with issues. And I'll tell you, that found out in the first session we have with Nick. And he shared, he said, I used to be a meth addict. And you look at him now, it's like, you don't look like a meth addict. Well, that's what I think. And boy, that surprises me. But I was. But the power of Christ came. So you got a brother who's a preacher, and I don't know who was praying for. Somebody was praying for this guy. He lived a rough life, but God saved him, cleansed him with his blood, filled him with his spirit, and called him into the ministry. And say, well, boy, don't you think people should be a little bit more, have a better background to be in the ministry? No, I think God loves choosing the weak things to show his strength. Amen? Trophies of his grace. Those most unlikely, God says, I'm going to use them because they're a willing vessel. And the power of Christ, he's our refuge of praying. In times of battle, sometimes you got to take cover, but you don't stop the offensive. Even on defense, we can be on our offense because we have a God who fights for us. We have a God who hears us when we pray. We have a God who keeps us safe from the battle. And at the same time, he allows us to be used of him to end the times of conflict with Satan when he comes against our families. Every single believer, I don't care who you are, you're at war with the enemy of our souls. You're just born again into warfare. You know why that is? It's because he used to be his, but the God of our salvation through Christ, when we called on his name, picked us up and raided enemy's territory and picked us up and carried us into the kingdom of his son. He just raided. You stole people's slaves, the enemy's slaves. We were slaves. And the devil's mad, so he wants you back. But if he can't get you back, because he can't get you out of the hollow of his hand, what's he want to do? He wants to get a foothold, a legal maneuver that he can get a foothold into your door so that he can come in and mess with you, so that he can discourage you, so he can cause your faith ultimately to shipwreck because you're going to be discouraged because why is all this happening to me? When I was a young believer reclaimed as a backslider when I was 18 years old, I remember the songs that were going around back then. I'm dating myself. But one of them is, Since I Found the Lord. I have happiness all the time, wonderful peace of mind since I found the Lord. And it just goes on and talks about the wonderful life, nothing bad's going to happen. Those were the songs of the day. It's like, oh, now, and it's like, I was a little surprised because that's not, you know, that's encouraging, but it's not really good theology. And I found out that when I read the word that Jesus said, you know, you're going to have trouble in this world. I thought, wait a minute, God, I like this song and I've been singing it, you know. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Can I tell you that if you're in your marriage and you're having trouble, that the devil's trying to get a foothold into your home? He's trying to push you to the D word. Okay? But you know what God's intention was? That when you get married, a two-fold cord is better than one. Two are better than one. Because when one falls down, the other one can help him get up. That's God's intention for marriage and relationship. And then he goes on to say, the scripture says, that a threefold cord is even better because it's not likely to break. And so what is that saying? It's saying that husband and wife bind together in covenant relationship, and then that's a good cord. But then you have a third cord, because that's Christ, your relationship with him, and then it's not likely to break. God intended for you and your spouse to be a terror to the enemy, because not just one of you is praying, not just one of you is standing against him, not just one of you is crying out to God for your children and your grandchildren, but you got a pair of people who have spiritual authority because you're the parents, you're the grandparents. And God has delegated you to have authority, spiritual authority. You can pray. And we have a fortress. The devil can't get in unless you give him a foothold. You know, how does the devil get in? I'm not going to go on a list of here, but he can get in through fear. You can open the door because of your fear. What is fear? It's the opposite of faith. What does the Bible say about perfect love casts out all fear? And so if the love of Christ is in you, then don't let fear overtake you. It's the opposite of faith. I'm afraid that my child, that they're never going to come back. You know, that's fear. That's a lie from the devil. You know what you say when you speak those words? That I'm afraid my child will never come back to the Lord. You're actually coming into agreement with the devil. You're coming into agreement with his plans. And he's sitting back just, oh, there's power in agreement. He understands that principle, that spiritual principle. But when you stand against him and you say what is not, God is the God who calls those things that are not as though they were. You know, that's just like saying, you know, my family, my nieces, my nephews, my younger siblings, in Jesus' name, they're going to get saved. You know what, devil, you're going to have to pack your bags and leave. Amen. So we stand in prayer, in agreement with our spouse in a time of warfare, hidden in the refuge, hidden in the fortress of our God. And so when the devil attacks, God is our fortress. The devil, can I just tell you this? When we are tempted, and that's whether tempted to fear, tempted to cave in to fear, tempted to throw up our hands and quit, the devil has boundaries that God says, you can go so far and that's it. And yeah, and the devil knows that if there's a legal right, he can cross into that line by getting a foothold because you allow him to do that. But 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul says the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Don't think anything strange has happened to you when you suffer various troubles, James says, in agreement with what Paul is saying here. But he says this, and God is faithful. How will God be faithful? He will not allow the temptation to be more than what you can stand. That's a promise from God. God is not a man that he can lie. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than what you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. And so what God is saying, you know, the devil may tempt you. He's the great tempter. But God says, you'll not be tempted above that which you're able, because I will make a trap door, a way for you to escape. Now, can I tell you, when I told you earlier that when the devil comes against you, you take your stand and stand firm, and he has to flee from you? That's the word of God. But the Bible does not say that when you're tempted, stand firm. The Bible says flee temptation. There's a difference. You're not fleeing from the devil, you're fleeing from that temptation. No, pastor, I'm going to stand it down. Then you're going to probably give in to it because your focus is going to be on that temptation. You flee carnal lust, as the old King James says, or fleshly lusts, better translation. Because our safe retreat is in the secret place of the Most High. You run into the arms of God, into that fortress, when you're being tempted. Charles Haddon Spurgeon goes on to say, our omnipotent Lord will shield all those who dwell with him. They will remain in his care as guests under his protection of their host. That's awesome. Third point I want to make, worship team can come back. Actually, just the pianist can come back. We're going to close and pray a blessing on the food. But I want to finish with this. The psalmist says, in him will I trust. And in reality, what he's really saying here is, I have placed my faith. That's what trust means. I place my faith in God. That I have faith in him. faith that will not be disappointed, will not be shaken. I will be shaken in my faith, but I will not succumb to that temptation to give up my faith. But as we look at that, we have faith in God. And we have faith in God that he saved us. Ephesians 2:8 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, but we have been justified also, and we have peace with God through our faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, say by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Something we couldn't do for ourselves, he did for us. In whom is this faith to be placed? What does he say? What does the psalmist say? He says, he is my God, and I will trust him. In other words, he is my God, and I will place my faith in him. So I'm going to challenge you today that keep your faith in God, that when you feel overwhelmed, life can get hard and can get troubling, it's a sign of strength and not of weakness to run into the secret place in the shadow of the Almighty, to find your refuge there, to find your fortress there, and to find a place where you can go on the offensive again, where he can restore your soul, restore your faith so that you can rise up and go out again. And God has, he has willed that you be winners, that you be victorious, that you not be overtaken, that you not be taken into captivity by fear, doubt, and unbelief or anything else that the devil has snares for you out, but you be free. So that is what the Word of God says today. And I hope and I pray that the seed of the Word settled in your heart and gives you hope. So let's pray. My Heavenly Father, God, we thank you and we praise you today for the awesome Word of God. Lord, the Word of God that, Lord, releases promises to those who are his. The promise, Lord, that we have a place of safety, a place to run to, that we have a God who shields us and protects us from deadly disease, Lord God, who protects us, Lord, from attacks from the enemy, from our spiritual enemy, the devil. Lord, that gives us hope. The promises give us hope. Lord, hope that does not disappoint. Lord, that we can call on the name of the Lord. And that, Lord, you hear us when we pray. And that, Lord, your spirit moves heaven and earth, Lord, to answer our prayers, Lord, for our loved ones. And God, we pray today in the mighty name of Jesus against fear, doubt, unbelief. Lord, we pray against those demonic spirits that manifest, that tempt us to turn aside from the faith we have in God. Lord, stir our hearts, Lord. Lord, remind us of who we are in Christ, Lord, when we feel alone, when we feel we're in trouble. Remind us, Lord God, that we have a God we can call on in a day of trouble, that we don't face our troubles alone or our battles alone, but our God is with us. And so, God, we pray that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I bless this people today by the power of the Holy Spirit and, Lord, by the Word of God and the power of the Word. Lord, that they would stand fast, stand firm in their faith, Lord, wearing the full armor of God, and Lord, that they would, Lord, be people, Lord, in the name of their God, who will conquer the enemy and raid his camp. And God, in Jesus' name I pray it. And everybody said amen. Amen. And now, God, we pray a blessing on the food, the fellowship, and this auction, Lord, for the good things that it's going to accomplish. And we pray that there would be, Lord, just an infectious spirit of worship and praise and happiness and joy in this place. And God, we pray it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen.